Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good golly, Miss Molly. Another week has gone by, and oh, by the way, happy belated Father's Day from all you gents around the globe. I hope you all had a great Sunday. I know I did. I had 147 texts, phone calls, emails, and everything else, whatever, which way. I guess there were some smoke signals in there also. But nevertheless, it was very beautiful, and I enjoyed it. And the big guy in the sky said, well, I'm going to let you live to another year because I don't want your ass up here yet. Well, I'm really happy about that. Now, how many times have I told you since the beginning of this year that this year is going to be the hottest summer on record? 5, 6, 10, 12, 15, who knows? And by the way, happy first day of summer yesterday here in California on my property. It was 104 at 3:30 yesterday afternoon. It broke all kinds of records. All kinds of records. The Sunday before Father's Day, the damn electricity went out, And guess why? It was hot again that week. So the PG&E and all the powers to be said, we're going to go voluntarily and turn off these grids. Well, they turned off our grid for 12 hours. I don't care because, as I told you before, we became and got prepared. We got us a generator. And I'm not talking about one of those hokey generators that you put the gasoline in them or plug them into a wall, whatever the hell they do, and propane or whatever. This is right through our system, natural gas, and we're the only one in the neighborhood except for two blocks over that somebody has one. And now what do you think happened? This was on a Sunday night. People come over. Tom, can we watch TV at your house? Oh, Tom, can we come in your house and stay cool with the air conditioner? So what is Tom supposed to say? No? Get the hell out of here? You'd be a good neighbor. And you say, well, you can come in, sit down for 1 minute, have a glass of water, now get the hell out. Of course, I didn't do that. But it's happening, folks. The change is going to come. We're feeling it now. Oh, and by the way, did you all get the news that our great president is asking Congress for a 90-day stay for that 19 cents stay of that tax on gasoline? I believe it's 19 cents because it was more than that. I would have, or $1.90, I would have really been happy. It was 19 cents. They're going to do a stay on this tax for 90 days. And he's asking all the governors of the states to do the same thing. You know, remember what I told you? Everybody's going to get used to this hike, and they're going to say, well, what the hell? And who cares? Remember what I told you guys? The change is going to come. If you thought 2008 was big, watch what's around the corner. How long can these people, these young families, go out, buy these homes, making payments of over $10,000 a month, $10,000 a month with $500,000 down between the ages of 28 and 35 here on the West Coast, Silicon Valley? It's happening. And let me tell you, they're really going to have to put away for a rainy day if they lose their jobs, believe me. If the crash hits, if the whole floor drops out. I've never in my life seen what's going on. The original house when I came out to California back in 1962 in Sunnyvale, California, I bought it for $16,000. That house today is selling for $2 million in Sunnyvale. So go figure. I can't anymore. Everything's gone up. Food prices have gone up. Gas prices have gone up. Go out and try to buy a car. You can't even do it. The same car that I have, that I've had, my Jeep, I went out and looked at new ones just yesterday. The same car that I paid, wrote a check for, $51,000 right on the showroom floor, had every bell and whistle you could think of. That car is selling for $71,000 today. I'm thinking to myself, really? My first Corvette that I bought in 1963, I believe it was $2,800. Corvette! Today you can't even get them. If you can, you know, they're $60,000, $100,000, depending on the condition. It's gone nuts, folks. It's gone through the roof. Meat prices, forget about it. Egg prices, forget about it. Go out there and buy a loaf of bread. What I paid for when I first got married, when TJ and his mother and me, for a bag of groceries for the week, if we paid $25, it was a lot of money, and we had a bunch of groceries to sustain ourselves. But the thing I didn't tell you, $100 was a lot of money each week to take home. Now you go to work and flip a hamburger, it's $22.50 an hour. I go next to the UPS store, They got an interstate battery guy that else, all they do is sell batteries. They start them off at $25 an hour, folks, $1,000 a week. And after 90 days, if you go through the probation period, they give you all kinds of coverage, and they give you another 50 cents an hour. And every quarter, it goes up until you hit $30. I don't get it. If that's happening there, what are these people with the letters past their name, the posthole diggers, the PhDs, the doors, the DRs, period, before their name? What kind of money are they making? When's enough, when the world's going to say enough is enough? I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Interest rates are going up. It's going to hit. When that bottom falls out, the only ones that are going to be secure are those who know that they got everything in place and cash will be king. Trust me. Between the cash and the gold and the silver, whoever got them hoarded, and watch out for the banks because you don't know what's going to happen. In any event, we've got a hellacious show for everybody around the globe today. Yes, I know for sure we got Gary Beldocchi with us. Man, this guy's been a trooper. I have some questions for him also. A lot of people that wrote in about him also have questions. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I went to the dentist today, and I had some work done. I got to tell you this. He's a controversial dude, and he has compassion in his heart. I didn't think so in the beginning, but he does now. And I really like the guy, and I understand our listeners around the globe like him. And my panel loves him, too. They're ordering books and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it. I want to see how my Alex is doing. Alex, how you doing out there, son?
Doing great, Pop. Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Did you enjoy your Father's Day?
I had a wonderful Father's Day, and it was extended this year. My daughter likes to send me Maine lobsters, you know, New England seafood.
Right.
For some reason this year, she couldn't get it delivered Sunday, so it showed up yesterday. So I had baked stuffed lobster yesterday. We had all sorts of seafood and lobster Sunday, Melanie and I, and we had a grand old time. How about yourself?
Oh, gosh. Between all the well wishes from all the fans and family and friends around the globe, my daughter, who Tanya, those who know her, is in the medical industry in Oregon. She sent me down one of these Harry and David's packages, okay? And you get, excuse me, fresh fruit, sausages, you get cheese, you get everything in its brother. Anything you can think of, okay? And then my other son, Johnny, who I don't talk about much in the thing, he had a DoorDash sent to me. He lives over there in Blackhawk in Walnut Creek, where the elite meet to eat, how sweet. He sent a case of Chivas Regal and a case of B&B, Brandy Benedictine. So, it should tell you that that the kid's doing real well. Kid, you know, he's 50-some-odd years old. And, of course, I got the well wishes from the rest of them, and because they're all over the country also. But that's what I ended up with, and we had tomahawk ribeyes on Sunday night, and oh my God, if you've never had them, try it at least once. Each tomahawk was 3 pounds plus. I had four of them because we had another couple over, and you have to cook them first because they're so damn thick, and then you put them and char them on the grill depending on what temperature everybody likes them. But believe it or not, most of the time you have four people, they all eat off of one. But to show you how these animals that I've invited over, and I hope they're listening tonight, Patty and Lou, They finished them off, man. I had twice cooked baked potatoes, and I had spaghetti squash. We had salad. We had garlic toast. We had watermelon and lemon meringue pie. And I got to tell you that then it's movie night. You know, I don't know if I told any of you guys out there around the globe, one of the people that rents from us installs a thing called Sonic out here. 10,000 megabytes, the fastest hot Wi-Fi and all that bullshit. And on the side, he sells the Super Box 3. And it's got 1,348 channels, and you own it. So if you have a cable company, it bypasses it, and it streams it all through your Wi-Fi, which you can get through Sonic for $29 a month. Well, my God, after I got taught, because, you know, I'm a dunce when it comes to that crap on that remote thing. But my son came out, like I told you, for 10, 12 days, and Father Ray was here and all that. He taught me how to do it, and boy, I never knew there's so much stuff on the boob tube now. Okay, I don't know what current events are. I don't watch the news any longer, okay? So in other words,
yeah.
You want to watch Bonanza? You watch Bonanza 24/7. Hold on. You want to watch Leave It to Beaver 24/7. But let's update. What about Denzel Washington? What about Schwarzenegger? What about Bruce Willis 24/7? Every movie they've ever done, guys. I mean, it is every HBO, every Showtime, every Cinemax, you name the premium channels, on demand, every is on this thing. And I've got to tell you that, wow. So now I'm going to change my one room into an entertainment room. I'm looking at this gigantic screen that's as big as a wall and thinking about getting those reclining leather chairs, and it has the holes for the cups and all that, and a little dish on the side that you, when you put your plate of, you know, pasta or whatever it is, just to have it. In my old age, not now, in my old age. But nevertheless, to answer your question, I hope I did. That's what we did. Now let's find out about the rock star. Rockstar, what'd you do?
Well's
the deep stuff. Just get to the point.
What I do, as far as that TV goes, I watch Forged in Fire, and I watch Motor Trend. I don't know what else is on. if it's not a car show and they're not building knives, I read. And as a matter of fact, I'm reading a novel right now by a guy named Gary Baldocchi.
Baldocchi.
I'm new to Italian names. when it came Father's Day, we ate a big bunch of cow. We went to a theater. First time I've been to a theater in probably 10 years. They have recliners in the theater. But the movie sucked, but it was a good place to take a nap. I don't know. I was never into the dinosaur movies. But I'm reading Gary's book right now. Y'all need to get it. Y'all need to get it, really. It's a good read. I'm not all that far into it, but it's by the fourth page I was hooked, so.
Well, that's a good thing. We're going to have Gary on as our first guest. Alex, do we have Marcia and Diana with us?
Actually, we don't yet, but we do have Gary and, of course, you know, Sweet and Doyle and Father Ray.
Here's what I'm going to do.
The girls aren't here yet.
All right, so I'm going to bring Gary on. And then while I'm bringing him on, and we're going to yak a little bit, I want you to call Marcia first and then Diana, okay, please? Sometimes they fall asleep.
Alrighty.
They're different time range, okay?
Alright.
Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out here to the West Coast and talk to our good buddy, Mr. Gary Beldocchi.
Well, thank you, Tom. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well.
Hey, I'm sorry I killed your name.
Rocky, that was no problem. I've heard a lot worse, trust me.
Gary, I got to tell you something. I got an email from my guy who's doing my book. And I says, well, I'll wait till I talk to you on the show to see what the hell this all means, because you apparently know about it better than most people. So he says that there's 30 chapters are done. There's 18,315 words, and then 101,490 characters. What the hell's a character?
You're talking about my book, you mean?
Mine.
Oh, well, characters could be how many characters you have, you know, possibly in the word count, or I don't believe you have that many characters in your book, like, you know, Sam, John, Bigfoot, whatever. I'm not quite sure what he's referencing.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what it said here, and it goes on and on and on. And then I hope that I think he's on. The Swede is on tonight, because Swede, I opened some of the pictures, and oh my God, who do you think's there in Rockwell? And I guess it's Rocky's truck, and left to right is Chico, Fernando, you, Rocky, and myself. And the searching for Bigfoot magnetic sign on Rocky's truck. Do you remember that picture? Swede?
Are you talking to me or Rocky?
No, Swede.
Oh, probably hadn't been unmuted.
Okay. But anyhow, I'm going to send this picture out to you guys. I just saw it tonight, and my God, this goes back. Hold on. This goes back, holy shit, this was back in 2000.
Swede should be ready to go now. He's unmuted. Sorry.
Swede, you there?
Yes, Tom.
Okay,
yes,
you
I
know
the
picture I'm
picture
talking about?
Well. Yes, I remember that picture. Was that not taken in the parking lot of the Italian restaurant?
Oh, my God. Do you ever forget anything, damn you?
He does.
No, not. Try not to.
Okay. Do you remember what year that was?
Now, that's a big one. I don't know, Tom, honestly.
Well,
I really don't know.
Let me give you a hint. You, myself, and Rocky have darker hair. Okay? And we were less fatter.
That was a long time ago.
I'm picturing it here. I think it says 2014.
I was thinking it was like 2013, somewhere in there is what I was going to guess. But I forgot about Fernando. Fernando was a lot of fun on our trip, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's no longer with us. God bless him up there. He passed away going on 4 years now. And Chico's still alive. He's 90 years old. God bless him. But,
well, that was a great trip. That was a great trip. I remember it well. And I had forgot about that photograph. But when you said that, I remember it. We were in the parking lot. We took that. Somebody, you said, hey, I don't even remember who it was. You said, hey, would you take a picture? You handed them the phone or camera or whatever it was, and they took the picture. And then the crowd started gathering.
Oh yeah, that I remember. Like it was yesterday. But the whole point of this thing, which blew me away, is I started opening up the pictures. Oh, my God. I mean, there's pictures here, footprints, and I guess Chico had taken pictures of when the cops came out to try to arrest us and kick us off the land.
pictures are in this damn thing.
Yeah, I think I remember Thomas, you kept telling. Yeah, that's awesome.
But you remember what Chico kept telling the cops?
Yeah, well, you kept telling him to quit sticking the camera in his face.
Yeah, yeah. And you know Chico, man, you know, Navy SEAL, he didn't fool around. He'd go right, he'd hit him right in the jugular.
he was not pulling any punches with law enforcement. He was pretty upset about it, you know. We had big plans, and they kind of doused the water on our plans. It made Chico mad.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But nevertheless, listen, I want to give Gary his time right now, but thanks for chiming in, okay, buddy?
Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead, Tom.
All right.
Gary on there.
Gary, forgive me, but it was kind of a nostalgic moment there for me. I hadn't seen these pictures, and like I said, until 2014, so that's 8 years ago, you know. And
yeah, totally just, understandable.
As soon as you see these pictures, you know, boom, automatically, you say, oh, my God, here it is.
Yeah.
And you were there at that moment, and you remember exactly what happened just at that time. That total recall thing is just incredible, you know. So, so answer my question. So, they got 30 chapters done, and this is just of Texas. How many normal in a book? How many chapters are there in a book normally?
Well, Tom, all books are different, you know. And when you ask me about the characters, my wife was listening to your radio show in the back of the house, and she came up here. She told remind me characters refer to letters. How many letters in the book? You know, like letters like T H E D or whatever. You know, so that's what characters are referring to, how many letters are in the book.
Oh. Okay, so is that a lot of letters, 101,490?
Well, yeah, again, Tom, to be honest, I just couldn't tell you. I mean, I know my book was like 458 pages or something like that and had a lot of words in it, and the next two books are going to be about 450 each. So, you know, but all books are different, you know. I mean, some are 100 pages, obviously. Some are 400 or 500 pages. It all differs.
I get it now. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're
the
master on this thing, and you must know what
publisher's publishing the publisher is publishing the book, obviously. The more the pages, the more the so forth, the more it costs for them to publish that book. So that's why they might be concerned on, you know, telling you know, how many characters or pages are in your book or words. Because it might be a cost factor to them. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. All I know is this has never been done before, number one. Number two, the headline or the book is called Bigfoot Expedition Guidebook, okay? And it tells a story about me, the main Bigfoot hunter and his team, with all his travels and where they went, who they met, and it names them in the cities and the whole nine yards, you know what I mean? Where and we're not afraid to hold anything back.
Right. Sounds very informative.
And it is. To me it is, anyway. It's the first thing that's ever been done. I've been publishing a lot of books, but this is going to be one strictly on our work, on accumulation of all of our stuff throughout the last 20-some-odd years, you know. So it just made me happy as hell. So now, here's the key. How far have you gotten on your book? Is it done yet?
Well, great question. I've completed the first draft last week, and it's a total of 872 pages, and it will be divided into book one and two, part one and part two. So it's completed, but we're just going through now the editing process of it.
Okay. All right. So when do you expect this all to be done?
Oh, I'm working around the clock on it. So it might take about a month and a half to get the first edit done. And then I have to go through it again, which would take a lot shorter time. So maybe in 3 months from now, we'll have the follow-ups on books two and three, hopefully.
Yeah, because I guess Doyle, besides Rocky, and then – hold on, I got a couple of people in here. Jamie, you know, I don't know if Jamie is a guy or girl. but they had ordered your book. Say hello to Gary Baldacci. And hold on, there's two others in here. Danette Pintar. She says, I finally got I guess you did a book before, huh?
Not me. This is the first book I published.
What's the book that's out there with you in it? There's a book here.
Well, the book that's currently published is called Actions of Violence.
That's the one she's talking about, Danette Pintar.
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently, you've got yourself some fans here, brother. You really do, and it makes me proud because that means we got people listening, and you were a good connection here. And look, people love what you do, especially in the world of you know, Marvel Comics and CSI on TV and NCSI or NCIS or whatever the hell it's called. And all these lettered organizations just crack me up.
Right.
But people understand them and they love them to death. You know what I mean?
Well, if I get any more exposure, Tom, it's a lot due to you and your exposure on your radio show, and I do appreciate that.
Well, listen, we love having you, number one. And number two, it's great to have you because you're really you're a treasure to have. We're going to go to a commercial real quick. We'll talk on the other side of the commercial, man.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what, every time I hear that little ditty, it just gives me the hair on the back of my neck just goes a little goofy, you know? And after seeing those pictures that I saw here, it just made me come a little melancholy, if you know what I mean, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean, Tom.
Yeah. So let me ask you something else on this book of yours. You going to have any photos in them?
No. No, because this is fiction. So, you know, I'm not going to have any photographs in them, no. If it was nonfiction, a biography or something, I could have photos. But no, not this time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah. How did your first deal that you put out, did it go well?
Well, to be honest, Tom, I was reading the other day, you know, you need, I think we talked about this before, you need the lucky break. And I guess I told you how Tom Clancy became famous, right?
Oh, no, you didn't. Not me.
Okay. Well, Tom Clancy became famous because Reagan, when he was president, went to the War College. And he picked up a book, Hunt for Red October. And he was flying back to the White House along the Long Marine One. He's walking along back into the White House. And a reporter said, "Mr. President, what are you reading?" And he said, "Oh, I bought this at the War College. It's Hunt for Red October." The next day, Tom Clancy sold 50,000 copies.
Wow.
You know, the next day, 50,000. And then from then, you know, the rest is history. You know, less than 1% of all the books on e-books and so forth sell less than 1,000 copies. You have to have your lucky break somehow, whether it be through the medium of podcast or, you know, some famous person says, like yourself, that they read it and they liked it, people started buying it, word of mouth, that type of deal.
I get it. I totally get it. Well, listen, I hope you don't mind that we'll have you on now and then. And
no problem.
Find out how your progress is going and what have you. I want to get to some of our other guests here before we find out if Marcia and Diana's on with us. Thank you so much, and again, happy belated Father's Day.
Same to you, Tom. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. Alex?
I had it programmed for me being
male, being
67 years old.
Yes, Tom. So Margo's not with us.
Yeah, Margo has a house full of grandkids, and she apologized, and she asked if she could maybe reschedule for next week.
Yeah, okay. Well, if we have a vacancy and we can place her, we're sure as hell will.
Yep.
Let's see who haven't we talked to. We haven't talked to Father Ray, have we?
We haven't, and I just heard him in the background there, so.
Let's talk to Father Ray.
Father Ray?
Number two. I guarantee you, Father Ray is snoozing.
He's watching TV.
No, he's talking away.
He's talking to somebody else.
How about Doyle? We have Doyle also.
All right, let's talk to Swede.
Swede,
go ahead, Tom. What do you want to talk about?
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. This is my partner, my brother from another mother, and this guy, we talk the same language. And the language we talk about, it's a four-letter word, and it begins with an F, and it's not what you think. It's 00 or ought-ought-D. It's food. We love our food, man. And
we love our food, don't we, Tom? We love it.
Oh, my God, do we. And when I saw this picture, and I said to myself, oh, my God, from then till now, boy, have we gone downhill. It's called old age, and we like our food.
You know, Tom, it's just I've relocated. I don't really weigh any more than I did. It's just all in different place.
And by the way, I got to tell you, somebody said Doyle's on. Doyle, are you with us?
He is.
I'm here, Tom.
Listen, Doyle, happy belated Father's Day, young man. I got to tell you.
I appreciate that.
I saw a picture of you with us, okay? And
yes,
I said to myself, wait a minute. He said he lost over 100 pounds when he was sick. Did you gain any of that back?
Not much.
You didn't gain much of it back?
In fact, let me tell you a little quick story, Tom. We talked a week or so ago on the show about the ticks and chiggers and all the stuff that leech up in the woods.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I was at the University of Tennessee Hospital all last week because a brown recluse or a Appalachian tick bit me.
Thanks.
And my leg is about half rotten off on the right side.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we were talking about this stuff and how to prevent it and everything, and I became a victim of it.
So where were you when you got bit?
Hell, Tom, I'm going to think I'm in my backyard.
Oh, my God. I think you better call the Orkin man.
You know what it is?
Buddy,
you know what it is?
Let me tell you this right now. We have no bugs in this house. We keep our house clean swept here. But
well, did you say you,
you
saw
know me,
the moth
I like
man?
To get out I like to get out in the woods. You know me, I like to get out in the woods. And something got a hold of me, but anyway, I was gonna tell you all that I've been in cahoots with a fella that's a autobiographer, and I'm also going to release a book.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. We've already got the title for it, and
wow.
It's going to be called Hell, I Was There.
I love that title. I love that title. Yes, indeedy. So what'd you do for Father's Day?
I was in the hospital.
Oh, that day too?
Yeah. My kids were good. They brought me fresh fruit and just everything I needed, you know, to be over there. I'm blessed. The hospital was stressed. When I went to the ER, there were 300 people ahead of me. And whenever I finally got a room 28 hours later, they finally got me a room. But it was just horrible. I mean, it was just a horrible experience. But anyway.
I'm sorry to hear that. But you know what? You're here to tell us the story, and that's the main thing. Can I ask, Alex, who's in the background talking?
I think that was Father Ray, and I just muted him out.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean,
okay. Hey, guys, hey, love y'all. God bless y'all. Mute me out now. I'll be done.
Listen, you take care of yourself here.
I'll try my best, Godfather.
I'm trying to get Father Ray to say a prayer for you, but I think he did a little bit too much of the grape. He drank too much of that wine tonight.
I understand completely.
You understand.
Been there and done that. Been there and done that.
I
know.
I understand. You just take care of yourself, boy.
Hey, I'll pour some moonshine on it.
All right. So I'm going to tell everybody about these two people that couldn't make it or they got involved with other things and that kind of stuff. This one woman is named Margot. She's on the Sioux Indian Reservation in North Dakota. And we had the pleasure of meeting her about 3 years ago up there on the reservation, just about this time. And they put on a big spread for us and showed us what was going on and told us what was happening. And before you know it, people were coming out of the woodwork and showing us pictures and telling us their stories. Great, great, great people. Well, we get a call from her last week, and she says, Tom, she said, I got some pictures that my girlfriend took down the road, and now the thing's coming out behind my house. We baited it and put a bunch of fruit and stuff there for it. Now they started to take the fruit, so now she put the pictures up last night, the cameras. Now, if they took any pictures, we don't know. Now, that was Margot from North Dakota, Sioux Indian Reservation. Now, this other woman, Diana, she's from the Appalachian, Georgia area. Okay? Nice gal. I only catch every other word, though, when she speaks. And that's why I'd asked of Rocky to make sure he was on tonight to decipher for myself and our guests and everybody else around the globe what she was trying to say. But she had seen the creature herself, and the thing has revisited her. And we can't get a hold of her to get on tonight, even though Alex has talked to her, and you've talked to her too, I believe. Haven't you, Rocky?
I talked to her for a while, but actually she never brought up Bigfoot. She was talking about her son that was murdered some time back. She was having a hard time dealing with it. And so
let me ask you, because you know you talk a different kind of language sometimes too. What kind of language does she talk?
Well, I think the Swede got it right. She's kind of speaking the same language as we do, but it's sometimes it's just like Cajun. You know, those Cajuns, when they speak English, they don't sound anything like any English I've ever heard. But I don't know. It's pretty backwards.
Okay, and that's the thing I question, all right? I'm not mocking anything or anything like that. Forgive me. She, when she was telling me the story, I only caught one, out of every sentence, I caught maybe one or two. And then as she went on, I'll give you a little verse of it, ladies and gentlemen. She goes, well, I'm back in over my people, my people. And I said, what the hell was that all about? So the other guy was Travis, by the way. He kind of interpreted, and he says, Peepaw, I believe, is grandfather, and Peemaw is grandmother.
No, that's Meemaw.
Oh, it's Meemaw?
Meemaw.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, I didn't. I had a granny, but I know what a Meemaw is.
Okay. Well, I had never heard any of this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And then I'm thinking to myself, I remembered there was a movie with Burt Lancaster back in the Appalachians. And, you know, remember with the banjo, doing the banjo, ba-da-bing-bing-bing. What was the name of that movie?
Oh, gosh. I can't even
Deliverance.
That's it. Deliverance. And I said to myself, my gosh, I remember seeing some of that stuff in that movie. So do you understand that? Who was that, Doyle? Doyle, that you?
Yes, sir.
Do they still talk that stuff by you too?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you something. You don't go into these woods at night without knowing the people you're going with, because you will get in trouble.
Oh, jeez. She was telling, look, Doyle, I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean to mock anybody, like I said, but she was telling some stories, and then I'm in the office at that day when I got this call, and the girl, the administrator, she's listening to this, and she says, Tom, did I hear that she was molested when she was a kid? I said, how the hell did you get that out of that? And she says, I think that's what she said. But it wasn't a normal molestation. It was a family figure. Does that stuff still go on, Doyle?
As bad as I hate to admit it, that stuff still goes on.
My God.
Eastern Kentucky, Tennessee, and everything else, there's
are still family molestations, and it's horrible. I worked those cases for 11 years, Tom, as a state trooper detective.
Now, you know, when she was talking about this me ma, be pa, I thought there was a vegetable or a plant throughout my investigation.
Now,
what the hell's a pawpaw?
A pawpaw.
The pawpaw is actually a vegetable or a fruit that drops from a tree.
That's what I remember.
That means that pawpaw come and had sex with me.
That's not the common here.
That's just a few of these mentally retarded people that live here.
Wow. So what was the one you were talking about, Rocky, the grandmother and grandfather?
The grandpa and the grandma, that can be peepaw or pawpaw. and then there's, well, like I say, I had a granny, so, you know, I never had a meemaw or any of that stuff. But
No, hell no. I never either. I mean, we were normal people, but they were just select few families that just done stupid shit.
Wait a minute. Alex, what's your take on this?
My kids did the meme, and that drove me nuts because I just wanted it to be, you know, grandma and grandma, grandma, grammy, you know, grandfather, grampy. But I guess times are changing. I don't know.
Well, you know, I had a granny and a grandma and a grandpa. I'm a pappy. But yeah, the pawpaw, me and Robert was out in the woods one day. I was looking at the ground looking for tracks, and he said, "Rocky, stop and just take a look around." I stopped and looked around. It was the biggest damn pawpaw patch I'd ever seen in my life, and we started getting those dudes up. And
so, what are they?
By the time I got. Do I?
What are pawpaws? What are they?
It's a pawpaw?
It's just a fruit. It's a wild fruit.
So,
further down south, you can find where they're actually raising pawpaws. But
can you eat them? What do they taste like?
I really can't tell you exactly what a pawpaw tastes like. It's got a taste of its own, and it's got about 800 seeds in each piece of fruit. But when you plant them, it takes about 8 years for it to bear fruit the first time. So I'm not going to plant it anytime soon.
But, you know what, Doyle? You're still with us. Has anybody done any books on the Appalachian people?
Oh yeah, there's been a few, I think, but I'm getting ready to blow the water out of the hole, baby. I'm getting ready to empty the sewer. I'm getting ready to dry the well. I'm gonna give a book. I was a police officer for 30 years in the three most counties in eastern Kentucky. I have worked incest cases. I have worked everything you can work. I've worked murders, whatever. Has anybody ever seen a movie called Justified?
I did.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. I worked that county for 30 years. I am damn justified.
You know why I say that, Doyle? I think it would be a big seller because if this stuff is still going on today and the world don't know about it and somebody cracks this open, like somebody like you, which I know that you got firsthand, you know, information on, I think this thing would be a big seller and maybe get some help for these people.
Doyle, just happened to think the title "Hell, I Was There" has been used by can't remember his name, Elmer Keith. He's already got a book. He has a book out. "Hell, I Was There."
And that
well, I saw mine. "Hell, I Was There" in Eastern Kentucky.
There you go.
Sound?
That sounds good.
I'll tell you what, guys. I really think it would be a. I think people would love to know that this stuff is still going on. So out in the mountains, they still got this crap going on, Doyle?
This stuff's going on in the city, too.
It's going on all over the world, Tom.
Yeah, anywhere you go.
Right now, in San Francisco, California, you got people raping their own children.
Oh, my God.
That's going on. I promise you.
So the way it depicts in the movie, are there still people living out in the woods, and they're using river water and outhouses and harvesting, you know, stuff on the land to eat?
Still
hell
going
yeah.
on.
Hell yeah. Hell, this is the way we live down here. I live better because I'm an educated and I look around at some of my kinfolk, and they still live in that hard life. Let me tell you something. If you're willing to come here, if you make $3,000 a month, you can come here and live like a king. You just stay away from those other people out in those woods. You don't go in them woods.
Yes, you got to be on your porch because I heard some frogs in the background.
Those are my frogs. That's my report right there. I live out in the woods. I ain't no fake.
No, you're not.
I ain't living in no big fancy penthouse apartment or anything. I live out in the woods. Those frogs that you're hearing croaking right now,
mm-hmm.
they could be dinner tomorrow night.
By the way, Alex, did you ever get Father Ray on, or is he still bullshitting?
I texted him, said hey, but I just put him on mute, and I didn't go back to him because we were talking. You know, funny that Swede says that because Doyle and because Rocky and I were talking about that right before the show, and Rocky said, you know, if you hear any background noise with him, it'll be the frogs
or the cows,
or the cows, or the cows.
Yeah. Well, folks, what you just got to hear was live, wasn't Memorex. That's our resident. Guy down there in wherever it is, I don't know if it's Kentucky or it's Georgia or it's who knows, okay? Appalachia,
hey,
whatever.
It's double. I could be in Kentucky tomorrow night and I could be in Tennessee tonight.
There you go. There you go. But when he talks, everybody listens. I can guarantee you that. I want to thank Gary Beldocchi. I want to thank all of you guys, Alex, Rocky, Ray, Swede, Doyle. I hope Margot and Diana get their act together, including Father Ray. And ladies and gentlemen, until next time, America, kudos and salutations.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the fact. I'm going to call it off.